Greg, thanks so much. I'm in the dressing room with principal guest conductor of the Philadelphia Orchestra, Stéphane Deneuve. This particular concert involved Eighth Blackbird. This is the very first time I've heard them live. What a wonderful ensemble.
They are a very special group, I have to say. And it's unusual to see people that not only play very well, but have a kind of almost theatrical connection between them. They, for me, like a troupe of actors on stage, and it's refreshing.
Indeed it is. And the Mahler that comes up next, his first venture into the symphony, and he wastes no time in getting into Lieder and folk music and even a little bit of klezmer.
Well, there are everything in his symphony, actually. A lot of personal impression. It really feels like he wanted to put the whole world in it. And I have to say, the first one is a very special one, and it's one that he cherished and struggled with, because the premiere in Budapest was quite unsuccessful, and he revised it quite strongly for the second performance, which was like 5 years later or 4 years later in Hamburg. And what we hear now is fairly different from the very first version. He did reorchestrate quite a lot, and basically, what is important for me is just to try to find in this symphony the man that Mahler was, and the generous, romantic view he had of the entire world, and the quite ecumenic as well vision of it, because there is definitely a struggle, certainly, between something Jewish and something Catholic there.
Yes, that's right. He did convert to Catholicism at one point. It was, I guess, considered the political thing to do at the time, but he never seemed like he was comfortable with it.
No, I think there is a big element of guilt somewhere there in both religions, for sure. And the symphony really goes in every direction. And the very beginning of the symphony, I'm fascinated by this amazing A's. There is 7 octaves of A, so it's a unison of 7 octaves of A's. And it really sounds like it's tuning to the world. And first you hear birds. So after Eighth Blackbird, we still have some more birds, thanks to Mahler. And suddenly arrive some sounds, indeed, very, very weird. Right from the top of the symphony, you hear nature, cuckoo, birds. And you hear suddenly a little fanfare from far away, a kind of call, military call, and some hunter's call as well. And it's just fascinating. And then later in the symphony, you will hear what I say in French, Frère Jacques, which for Mahler was Bruder Martin. And he will add indeed some klezmer music there, some cafe music. So it's just fascinating how we can put all this together and still make a great structure of a symphony.
I don't know if it's just coincidence, but I noticed something at the opening of the first movement that sounds very much like thematic material from Beethoven's 4th Symphony.
Alors, you're very right. It does seem similar to 2 symphonies, I would say. The very, very, very start sound pretty much like the 9th Symphony. It has the same feeling of open chords and pure intervals, you know, with the 4th, ta-dim, ta-dim. And so there is something for me that is quite similar to the 9th Symphony. And then the main theme is indeed, as you say, quite close to the 4th Symphony. But there's no imitation, I think. It's just that Mahler, like every great composer, was a sponge and was able to just integrate influences from the greatest genius. And then giving back in his own way, because definitely the symphony is very different from Beethoven, but it has the same scale and certainly the same humanist project.
Like most of Mahler's symphonies, heavily orchestrated, and what I always find striking about his orchestrations, though, he's very conservative about how he uses the orchestration, and he's also very, very specific in the scores.
For a conductor, it's fascinating because there are so many messages from Mahler. He writes what he wants, he explains how he wants the sounds to be appearing, and you really feel you have a colleague, actually, a great colleague, just telling you what to do. And this first symphony is maybe a little bit more conventional than some later, but still, I think it's extremely creative and sometimes eccentric. Of course, I'm fascinated by the sound world and by colors. I'm French, after all. So I really try to work with the orchestra to offer an extreme range of dynamics and some strange mixture sometimes, you know. Like there is an incredible moment in the 3rd movement where Mahler asks the strings to play collegno, but usually collegno means with the wood of the bow, and normally people do that, composers do that to get a kind of sound of a percussive sound. But actually he asks them to really play long bows with the wood, which of course doesn't work. It makes kind of squeaky, fragile, kind of crashing sound. And this is very unique. I mean, there's nothing like that until Mahler. He has such an incredible imagination. So right from the top, though, his symphony is, for me, like Berlioz, a unique world.
And there's a lot of repetitiveness in the last movement, so this could be called a cyclical work?
I'm not sure if you can say cyclical. I think it just has, like the Ninth of Beethoven, a kind of recapitulation, and where there is a reminiscence and a comeback to other parts of the symphony. It's just a way for him to reassess the trajectory, because the journey, because actually this symphony has kind of two ends. It's very surprising to me that there is a huge climax and a triumphant arrival, and you really believe that's it, that's the end of the symphony. And then he dies away, and that when, indeed, he will make a recapitulation and bring memories of the whole symphony, and again build a momentum to an even more triumphant, a real, I would say, triumphant ending. So that is actually quite spectacular, how he can basically offer two ends, one which is just overconfident, and the music seems to say, really? Do you really think that you made it, that you have been successful the way you want it? Do you really? There's not another side to the coin, you know, to the medal, and we explore it, and then it can end in a more humanistic, I think, and more peaceful way.
I was lucky enough to get to one of the rehearsals for this, and I noticed you had the horn section stand at the end of the fourth movement. I thought that was quite something.
It's actually not my idea. It's the composer's idea. Mahler does ask that the horn section stand for this ending to give the maximum power and to be able to have this melody overpowering the rest of the huge orchestra. So I'm glad that the orchestra here does it so well and with so much confidence. And he also asks Mahler, "Schalt Richter auf," which means that during the symphony, sometimes he asks the woodwinds to put the instrument up to just sound like a trumpet. So all clarinet, oboe, just suddenly you will see them putting the instrument horizontally towards the audience. And that's also a unique thing. I don't know another composer that asked that before Mahler. And it's very effective, because suddenly it sounds indeed much more, much louder.
And in many respects, it's certainly forward-looking and unique for the time. Well, we need to get you back into the hall. I'm looking forward to hearing this symphony, and thanks so much for taking time to speak with us.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.